Hello and welcome to Catching You Podcast. As you have noticed, there's a link in the show notes to send us a message. Lacey and I are taking questions to answer for future episodes. Send us your questions or simply drop us a message and let us know what you think of our show. Thank you and catch you guys on the other side. Take care.
I've talked about this with a lot of my friends too. As you are who you hang around with, or you are who you're, associated with. So a lot of decisions and moral standings come from the people around you, because if you're hanging out with them all the time, you want to be around like-minded people. And usually, sometimes those rub off on you. And so, yeah. So having babysitters that were athletes and were smart, they helped me with my homework. We would watch sports together on the TV when we would hang out. So definitely made an impact, I think.
Hello, and welcome to Catching You, a dad and daughter softball journey. I'm Rusty, a dad who's been in the dugout and on the sidelines.
And I'm Lacey, the daughter whose journey through softball has been filled with incredible wins, tough losses, and so many lessons both on and off the field.
For the past 16 years, we've navigated the highs and lows of softball together, from the local fields to national tournaments and everything in between.
From the challenges of recruitment during COVID to the mental and emotional roller coaster that comes with being a student athlete, we'll be sharing the perspectives of both the parent and athlete and firsthand experience of the impact of sports on mental health and the importance of support from the sidelines.
Welcome back, everybody, to Catching You. I'm your co-host, Rusty Hem. With me is my other co-host, my beautiful daughter, Lacey. Lacey, say hi.
Hi.
We are fresh off of Mother's Day, which was yesterday. I know you missed mom, right?
I did.
Oh, missed mom.
Yeah, I have finals this week.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been home for just one day and then have to drive all the way back. So I'll give her my gift when I get back.
You gave her you gave her a massage.
True.
Yeah, so good stuff. So we're going to stay on the kind of the topic of answering questions, or maybe some things that are coming through our pipeline as far as Facebook Messenger. And last week you did a solo cast. Great job, by the way.
Thanks.
And you answered a couple of questions from a listener. I have another listener. His name is Josh. And he'll laugh about this. It was a novel. But he had some great things that we could talk about. And let me just go through what he was, not concerns, but just challenges he's facing. His daughter is, I'm assuming, first year 12s. Remember first year 12s, Lace?
I think we skimmed by it.
Yeah.
So we qualified for PGS.
Yeah. So that was a big year for you, right? We came off a 10U. We came off the national championship, lost by one run in the championship. You pitched almost every game. And then we had the same team entering in the 12U. And we'll get into tryouts and stuff like that, because that's one of his kind of things he wanted to talk about as far as tryouts. But first year 12s, we had high expectations, right? We're in the BatBuster organization. We're coming off the national championship. First year 12s is different. These girls are they're going into middle school, so they're much bigger, stronger, and they pitch a lot faster. So to qualify for PGF at that time was a big deal. I think we were maybe one or two first year 12s that actually make it to PGF. But so Josh is we have very similar paths, Lacey. I think I discussed with you before, we have very similar paths where we are PE teachers. We are also coaches, and we're also parents of a softball player. And we have similar paths. I resigned from being a head coach of basketball to spend more time with you. I didn't resign from teaching, but because I knew you were coming up through high school. So my plan was to coach softball so I can be with you. And that worked out. But one of his things, and you can attest to this, Lace, mom and I, we're very particular on who we put in front, of you, right? So even in middle school, right, your mom teaches at the middle school you went to. She teaches PE there. So we have the ins on who you can basically have as a teacher, right?
I think you guys chose my teachers since I was in preschool.
Yeah.
Preschool, I don't know.
Yeah, because when you were in elementary, that mom was teaching in elementary school too as well. And then.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at the same elementary school with mom.
Yeah.
And then she left to go to middle school. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't like where I went. I don't know why I wanted to go. But I transferred elementary schools.
You did.
And it might have been easier because of where we lived too. Transferred to new elementary school. That was the only time that I didn't have either of my parents teaching at my school was elementary.
Right. Yeah. So we had the ins on who you should be in front of. Right. So we were very particular. We were also very particular on who babysat you, right? What were the two requirements for our babysitters, if you remember?
They had to have a 4.0 and they had to be athletes.
Yep. Yep. Because I was teaching. Yeah. But so what? Because I was teaching in high school, I had a lot of, and mainly females, but I had a lot of girls. You know, can we babysit for you? Can we babysit for you? Because when I started teaching high school, you were 6.
Yeah.
And Jesse was 3. Can you? And then I would say, hey, what sport do you play? And do you have a 4.0? If they said no to either one of them, I said, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
It makes sense because I've talked about this with a lot of my friends too, is you are who you hang around with, or mm-hmm. you are who you're, I don't know, associated with. So a lot of decisions and moral standings come from the people around you, because if you're hanging out with them all the time, you want to be around like-minded people. And usually sometimes those rub off on you. And so, yeah. So having babysitters that were athletes and were smart, they helped me with my homework. We would watch sports together on the TV when we would hang out. So definitely made an impact, I think.
Yeah. And the main thing for us is that they're responsible, right? They're responsible in the classroom. They're getting their homework done. They're 4.0 for a reason. And then you have to be responsible an athlete, right? You're going to practices, you're getting yelled at by coaches, you have to be on time. And so that those two aspects, we were very particular. So if you're listening and you have young ones, I would highly recommend you be very particular on who your babysitters are and be prejudiced. I do prejudge. I always told them I'm prejudiced. They're like, what are you talking about? You have to have a 4.0 and you have to be an athlete. Okay. Yeah. I'm prejudging you. If you don't have either of those two qualities, you're not watching our kids. So let's move on to that. Yeah. We were very particular. And then one of the things because his daughter's just now getting into travel ball, which you started when you were 9. And then you didn't really have to try out because you're the head coach of your travel ball team. Was your all-star coach. So it was just like, hey, Lace, you're on our team. And then we did have tryouts for other people. But, and then I'm not sure why he's talking about tryouts as far as being closed. You don't remember ever any tryouts being closed, right? I'm not sure what he means by that, but.
I don't understand that really. Say if an organization does have closed tryouts, especially as a athlete going from like 10U to 12U and you're at the beginning of like middle school, like that age for me, I feel like I would feel so anxious at a tryout if I didn't have some sort of support system outside. Yeah.
Seeing your parents, you know, be on the fence a little bit.
Yeah. Like just sometimes just them just standing there and like a girl being able to see her parents like right there supporting her,
yeah,
would make their experience way more impactful, and their performance might even be 10 times greater than if their parents were not there. So my anxiety level would probably raise a few bars if it was like a field, the coaches and all these girls I'm competing against with no one around. And what we don't know who this coach is. Thankfully, we knew all like a bunch of the coaches in our organization that like we knew them. I don't what if you're trying out for a new organization and it's closed and you have no idea who these coaches are, you have no idea who these girls are.
That might be a red flag.
That might be a red flag for me.
Yeah.
As a player,
yeah, that's a red flag. Okay.
No. Well, I think it should be a red flag for both parents and kids.
Yeah.
Because why is it closed? The only thing I could think about is if the coach didn't want the players to get distracted by the parents. But then I said to you before, if the player is getting distracted by their parents during a tryout, you probably don't want that kid on your team. Because now they're getting easily distracted from something that, like, what about a game? Are they going to talk to their parents during a game? But it's a matter of keeping the girls calm, especially during tryouts are so, like, high anxiety for a lot of people, for anything. Yeah. Like, interview, it's like an interview, tryout, anything like that. Like, you're competing against all these people around you, you have no idea who they are, and you're supposed to outperform them. So how are you supposed to do that under high stress?
Yeah, no, and I get it. When he says he gets it, because there are parents out there that are constantly meddling into their kids' business, right? Hey, Lace, you know, throw this way or make sure you step and throw. So they're coaching from beyond the fence. And I can see maybe an organization saying, hey, you need to, like, you know, but we never had that issue because of the organization we get in. And we're going to get into us being bat busters and how that was viewed by other people. But as parents, you have Mike Stith, you have Mark Campbell, and you have Chris Garcia on the field. As a parent, you're going to shut your mouth. You're not going to say anything, because in that organization, a lot of times it's you're on the team because of the parents. If you're just a jerk as a parent, or if you're distracting, like you said, if you're distracting if you're saying stuff to your daughter as they're trying to try out, your daughter might be pretty good, but they're going to be like, yeah, no, thank you. We don't want this parent on the team. I've said that a few times, that even if it's apples to apples and they look at the parents, they're going to go with the parents that are cool and relaxed and chill. And so all the tryouts, and we were lucky, right, Lace? We were lucky because we went to the tryouts. You went to the tryouts. You didn't necessarily have to try out, but we'll put it in their quote.
You were trying out.
Yeah, you were trying out. There was very few spots, right, for the team you were on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were basically trying out for the B teams or the C teams primarily. Like,
it would be a big tryout. So even the returners had to come,
mm-hmm.
and you knew what team you were going to be on. But our coach, like the coach that I knew that was going to be my coach, would be on the sideline probably looking for another outfielder, another pitcher, another infielder. Like, just who shows up to the tryout and who stands out.
Yeah, and it was good to have you guys there because they were able to compare these people trying out to you guys. Okay, can they compete with these elite players? And if they can, then they might have a shot.
Yeah, and we knew, like, the ins and outs. They ran it like a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew what the drills were. Like, all right, everyone, 5-star drill. And we'd all just run to our spots and all the girls trying out. But we would take those girls and be like, all right, and then tell them what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on whether they get it or they don't get it, that could also be a factor. Like, being easily, you're not coaching as a teammate, but adjusting to drills that pop up in a tryout that you have no idea what they are, like around the horn. What's around the horn?
Yeah.
You might want to know what around the horn is.
And, yeah, if you don't know around the horn and you show up to a bat bus for tryout, you're...
And I remember having to explain to a girl, he'll randomly switch the direction. So just keep an ear out. And I remember her going up and he said, switch. And she didn't switch. And you could see, like, the look on his face. And I was like,
okay. He's not going to scream at her because she's trying out. But,
no, but
if it was one of you, he would scream at the top of his lungs.
Hey, but then I know he was looking at me, too, because she was in my same line. And I'm expected to guide her as well. So I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. So let's touch on that. We weren't the only program out there that was negatively looked upon. We had our issues with the Crone Angels and how they conducted themselves. I'm sure they looked at us and said certain things. So every organization is going to be different. And you've played with girls that play for multiple organizations. They were program hopping, trying to find that right one. You luckily didn't program hop until 18s, but yeah, so it was just more of a swag. It's just how those organizations carried themselves. We never had.
I'd say this is just from my perspective. I don't know what it is from a Corona Angels perspective, but I think it was the main rival that we had. Like Batbusters, we weren't allowed to celebrate home runs at home plate. Batbusters, more quiet? I don't know if it's quiet. Humble? I don't know.
Maybe, because you don't want to say Corona Angels aren't humble. It's hard to describe. I don't know. We don't want to badmouth them because they were a very good program. They did things differently that we didn't do. And we looked at that as, okay, they're different from us and the way they're conducting themselves. We don't do that. So we felt like we were more, not high and mighty, but we're just like, it was more of a business, right? We hit a home run. Hey, act like you've done it before. Just give them a high five when they come in the dugout. Where they're all over TV now. It's just like home runs are just, they come out to home plate and they're super excited.
So much more fun.
Which is weird because those girls that you played with back then, they were hitting home runs all the time and they weren't supposed to do that. But then when you look over Corona Angels, they hit home runs and they were just going crazy, right? Yeah.
It was something to teach us to be more humble.
Yeah.
And expect more of yourself always. So you hit a home run. All right. That's
move on. Yeah.
On to the next at bat. And there's pros and cons to that, but I guess definitely to teach us more to be more humble and humility and all that stuff. But yeah. Corona Angels were definitely more like outward with their emotions and very talkative. Very loud in the dugout. We were not very loud. I don't think we even cheered most of the time.
Yeah, you guys were boring.
They were really boring.
And a lot of it might have been jealousy too, right? They were you're looking over there and they're celebrating each other. They're celebrating the strikeout. They're celebrating that they'd get walked and they would celebrate. You know, maybe part of it was just some jealousy. I want to celebrate. I want to have fun.
I thought that was like the normal thing. I'm like, why are they so loud?
Like, right.
You know.
Yeah. So, and it rubbed people the wrong way, which is fine. It is what it is now. It's like, at the time, we're just like, they're so annoying. But, yeah. So his last thing was being inquisitive to a coach. So for example, if I were to walk up to Mike Stith and say, hey man, what is your philosophy on first and third? Something stupid. I wouldn't say stupid, but just being asking questions to the head coach. Hey, what do you guys do as far as team bonding? If I were to ask Mike Stith that or Mark Campbell, they would have said, okay, see that door right there?
They want you to tell you to leave.
Yeah, see that door? Go ahead and just go out that door and take your daughter with you. Yeah, so that's a fine, because I get it, Josh. The guy who wrote these messages, I get it. He wants to make sure that his daughter's in front of the right coaches. And he said that word of mouth, there's a lot of word of mouth, right? It's Southern Orange County Batbusters. It was mainly word of mouth. It's okay. If you play for Orange County Batbusters, you have Mike Stith, Mark Campbell. Those are the guys you want to play for because so many girls where they got scholarships going to these major colleges. So if you played for them, the odds of you getting a scholarship were very high. So we just put our head down and said, okay, we're in, we're all in. Some people lasted, some people didn't. And, mm-hmm. and we can get into next week because we haven't really got into 18s yet, but we don't want to, it's as hard as a parent. Cause I get it. You want to put your kid in front of the right coaches. So that's why you just want, it's got to be a gut, right? It's got to be a gut feeling as a parent. I'm talking as a parent. And let's say hypothetically you were to go to a tryout and check it out and you just see something that you just didn't like, and it's in your gut. Just, that doesn't sit right with me, the way he was yelling at people. Or because you play for Mike Stith, Mark Campbell, Chris Garcia, they're going to scream and yell. Mike Stith will scream at the top of his lungs if you made a mistake. And you had to deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, then it's not the right program. So you just gotta keep going to different programs. And as a parent, it's gotta feel right. And being in the Bat Busters, playing for Chris, playing for Mark, it just felt right for you. We felt like you can handle it. You were competitive. But yes, you got emotional sometimes when they yelled at you, but you got over it. So just trust your gut. Go to multiple tryouts and trust your gut. That's all you can say. Yeah, you can ask around, but I wouldn't go to the coaches.
No, I agree. And because you would sit, or you or mom would sit at, sometimes hang out with the other parents at our practices sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so if, say, you do make this team and you're not really sure what the head coach is about or the other coaches, just sit on in their practices and observe, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to say anything to the coaches. You can get a gist of what they're about by just sitting in the outfield and observing how the practices run. How is he talking to the players? Is he doing one-on-one? Is there nothing being said after a mistake? Like, looking at how they discipline the girls, is it just constant running? Or is it very intentional? Run to the fence and back and get back over here. Or is it just constant running? Nothing being... Yeah. And I think you would get a gut feeling by just observing and seeing what the practice is all about. Or, yeah. Because you don't want... If your daughter is super competitive, you don't want a coach that's, oh, it's okay, let's just move on to the next drill. Like, you want more of a hard-ass coach then. And then you got to move on or find a different place. It's just observing. Yeah, you're not going up to my thing asking that.
Yeah, and just hanging out with parents on the other side of the fence. If you hear them constantly complaining, then there might be something wrong, right? But if they're just chill, they're just in their lounge chairs and hanging out and talking politics or talking weather or talking, vacations. And they're not talking about the coaches and how horrible they are or situational stuff, then you might be in the right place. Let's move on. He had a second tier to his questions or his comments. And that was, and that we'll just break it down to transitioning from, 10, 12, 14, 16, it's transitioning and dealing with the different types of relationships. Different coaches, because you had different coaches when you moved up, and then you have different players that you played with. And how did you handle that? Because you go from 12, you're getting into middle school, and you talk to mom, and middle school girls from sixth grade to eighth grade, they changed dramatically. And she can attest that. We can bring her on, and she'll go off on how sweet and innocent they are in sixth grade, and then all of a sudden they're eighth grade, they're just completely different people. And I'm sure it's the same with, again, it's the organization. The organization you guys in was just, there wasn't a lot of drama. You did first year 14s at the end, or second year 14. I forget when we had that drama coming home from Colorado, but yeah. But there wasn't a lot of drama just because like-minded people, we talk about, right? Being around like-minded people. So I don't know if you can touch on that a little bit.
So like teammates and...
Yeah, just transitioning from 10s to 12s to 14s and maybe playing with different girls.
I was lucky enough to play with some of the same girls pretty much my whole travel ball life. And once you get to that middle school age, I think I've talked about this before, but it starts to get really clicky. And you start to hang around people that you feel more drawn to and more... You like, well, are like-minded, like you said, and sometimes they aren't the best people to be hanging out with, but you think that's the best option for you, like in a social setting. Some girls, I know girls especially, like young girls, feel pressured to feel or to join the cool group or be the cool girl. And let me tell you, being mean is not cool. So I figured that out pretty early, because I think what kind of helped me too is I had friends in middle school that were not softball players. I didn't, in my whole friend group that I had in middle school, not one of them played softball. Some of them played sports, but they were not in my outs. They were not part of my extracurricular activities at all. Like, I would never see them on the weekends. I would never see them at practice. But my friend group in middle school, I'm still friends with them today. I was lucky enough to have some really good friends and that had good morals, good. We supported each other. We would hang out, have all this fun together, go on trips. And that kind of, I would take those thoughts and those social thoughts over to my softball world. And always, like, my social world and my softball world are completely two different areas.
But you took the qualities of your non-softball, you took the qualities of their character. And when you play softball, you're looking, because you talked about it, it's clicky. You're gonna seek out those type of girls that kind of fit that mold.
Yeah.
But talk about the ones that weren't in that mold or in a different clique. I wouldn't imagine you're like just shunned them, right?
No, I got along with a lot of the girls on pretty much all my teams. Obviously, there's going to be ones that I'm not as close with. Even now on my college team, there's still girls that I'm not as close with than other ones. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of life, I feel like. But it's all about, you can observe too. I would have my friends at my house, or like even the teammates that I were close with, we would share hotel rooms together, all that stuff. So you would see the people that I would hang around with, or mm-hmm. you would see the people that I associate with. And I feel like you or mom would tell me like, hey, I don't know if this person is good to hang around. I don't know. We've never really had that experience before, but just being able to see the type of character that, even at practice, like how we talked about observing, you can observe the people that your daughter is like hanging around more, or during game breaks, I want to go hang out with her. I want to go eat lunch with her. And I guess just observe. If you notice something off, then got to communicate that with your daughter and maybe set some boundaries. But relationship wise, you don't have to shun them. You just don't get along as good as you do with other girls. So yeah, it's very clicky. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have a common goal, right?
Yeah.
Which is to improve. At the time, you guys are trying to win PGF, and then you're also trying to get recruited. So you guys all had a common goal, right? There were girls on your 14s I was not a fan of. And I'm like, you are not to hang out with them. I never said that to you, but in my mind, I'm like, you better not hang out with them, because I didn't like their character. I didn't like how they conducted themselves. They didn't work very hard. They always took plays off, or when the coaches turned their backs, they were giggling and they weren't as serious as you were. And yes, we wanted you to hang out with people that were serious about what, you know, well, you guys were on these teams. You were supposed to have these common goals, which is win PGF and get recruited. So those are the two major goals. And if we didn't see that as parents, we didn't see some of those girls have those same goals. We're like, hey, you are not to hang out with them. But I think you did that on your own. I think you saw that, you observed, and you're like, yeah, they're not like me, so I'm not going to hang out with them as much.
Yeah.
And yeah, you in college, you're still the same way. Your roommate's a soccer player, and then you have your other friends are tennis players.
Yeah. Right? My best friend's on this tennis team. My roommate's a soccer player. I have friends that are not athletes that go to a completely different university down the street. Like, it's all over the place. And I'm more drawn to these people compared to other people. It's just how life works.
Yeah. And then on the changing the different coaches, again, we were in the same organization for, I don't know, you were 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So what is that, 8 years?
Yeah.
About 8 years we're in the same organization. We knew the coaches. We knew who we were going to play for. So I can't really, Josh, I can't really talk about different relationships with coaches because we knew the coaches. We knew what we were getting into. But as far as a parent and observing coaches, we just had a really good feeling about, because of Lacey and who she was and how competitive she was, we knew this was the right organization. If it wasn't, we would have dined and ditched. We would have tried to find somewhere else.
We had to at one point, which was...
Yeah, we can get into that next episode because we haven't really talked about... We touched on 16s a little bit, but your first year at 18s was not the best. And then...
I had to go back to 16s, remember?
Yeah. In the fall of 18s, after fall was over, we come back in January, we had to go back to 16s and different team, different organizations. We can get into that later. But Lace, you have one more week. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have finals all this week and one on Monday, and then I'm done.
And then you're coming back home.
I am.
So we're going to pay for an apartment that's going to be empty. That's fantastic. That's great.
I'm also chipping in.
That's true.
I'm doing due diligence.
Due diligence. Yeah. I'm joking with you, but we're looking forward to having you back home, even though you're 21 years old.
And probably will still live there after college. I don't know.
Listen, I lived with my mom when I was 26, so it's okay.
And we'll have the dogs, the kitchen.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. Right. The best of both worlds.
Yep. All right, Lace, I love you.
Love you.
We'll catch everybody else on the other side. Take care, everybody.